Hi, this is Dave Kale. Today I want to talk about gaining influence through excellence. In 2014, Hobby Lobby, a Christian-owned company, won a lawsuit at the level of the Supreme Court. The lawsuit objected to an Obama administration mandate that companies must provide a number of contraceptives to their employees at no cost, or face a large fines from the government for not doing so. Now, this mandate from the Obama administration violated the religious convictions held by Hobby Lobby's ownership, and so they initiated the lawsuit. The court held that the rule violated the religious freedom, which is guaranteed by the Constitution, and that the company did not have to provide free contraceptives to its employees. Christian business people around the country applauded this victory, seeing it as a victory for religious freedom and a blow to big government encroachment on that freedom. And while it certainly was that, it was also an example of a deeper principle at work. And the deeper principle is this: excellence in business brings with it a disproportionate measure of community and cultural influence. Let me just repeat that, because it's a big issue. Excellence in business brings with it a disproportionate measure of community and cultural influence. Now I discovered this principle as a young man. In order to work my way through college, I sold men's suits at a sort of a higher-end men's clothing store. And even though I was young and I was not a full-time employee, I became the leading salesperson in the company's 5-store chain. And with that came recognition and access and influence. And we had a famous clothing designer, for example, a fellow by the name of Ole Cassini, and we carried his line of suits. He came to town one day to promote that line, and the company had a big cocktail reception for him, and I was the only salesperson from the branches that was invited to the cocktail reception. You know, a little bit of recognition, a little bit of access, a little bit of influence, because I was excellent at that work. Now, when the buyers would visit my store, they made it a point to spend some time with me. I was even invited to talk to the company's president on a couple of occasions. Now, at the time, you know, I was just a young guy. I was just focused on making enough money to support myself, pay my college costs. So the idea of influence just was oblivious to me. You know, I just didn't see that at all. It wasn't until years later that I realized that my influence was a direct result of the success I had on the job. Now, as I moved through my career, I discovered that this principle, that business success engenders recognition, access, and ultimately influence, that held true for all the years that I made my living as a salesperson. You know, I was always one of the top salespeople, and that meant that when the company president wanted to spend a day riding with the salesperson, he chose me. When the company was considering a new line, they often ran it by me. Now I have, of course, seen that same principle at work in the hundreds of companies for whom I've consulted over the years. When I interview employees, for example, it would always be the top salesperson who was on the list. And the company would choose the top guy to be, you know, to talk to the outside consultant, me. When decisions were made that impacted the entire sales force, you know, typically compensation, for example, they were often run by the top salesperson. So this wasn't about me personally. This is about the principle. There is a principle at work here. If you're excellent at your job, you get recognition, you get influence, you get access to, you know, the decision makers. In my career as a professional speaker, I had lots of occasions to interface with national trade associations, and I found the principle at work at the company level as well as the individual level. It was the leading companies in each industry who provided the personnel for the boards and the committees of the national associations. that particular association's decisions regarding, you know, the strategic direction, the location, the agenda for the annual meetings and conventions and so on, those decisions were often made by the principals in that trade group's leading companies. At the company level, then, excellence in performance brings with it recognition, access, and influence. Hobby Lobby would not have had the ability to stand for its rights and ours as well if it were a struggling one-store operation. Its success and industry-leading position put it into a position where it could impact the entire country. Now, there's a lesson in this for Christian business people. We're called to be a light in the world of darkness and salt to season our communities and culture. What better way to do that than to become excellent in our professions and leaders in our industries? Influence through excellence ought to be the strategic goal for every Christian business person and every Christian business. When business excellence intertwines with our transparent Christianity, the impact can be enormous. You know, I remember years ago when I was a member of the National Speakers Association, I went to a couple of their national meetings, and I heard Zig Ziglar speak at one of the annual conferences for the National Speakers Association. And the first words out of his mouth were to praise Christ and give a short version of his personal testimony and then launch into a keynote speech. You know, Zig set the bar for excellence in his profession, and he used that influence that came with excellence to point to Christ. I mean, what a great example. Now, we can't all be Zig Ziglars with his influence and platform, but we can have a similar impact on the communities and the industries in which we find ourselves. Imagine the impact on our culture, on our economy, and the political environment if every industry were led by a Christian company. Imagine if the movers and shakers within every profession were the Christians who had earned that position through excellence. You know, if that were the case, then we could frame the discussion nationally. We could impact legislation. We could touch and empower millions of citizens. Our commitment to individual responsibility, to kindness, to fairness, to character development, you know, to name a few of the things that Christian companies do, our commitment to those things would leap to the top of the national dialogue. We would have the ear of the lobbyists, and the political powers would seek our influence and our insights. Millions of employees, vendors, and customers would see what it's like to deal with integrity, with love and concern for our colleagues. People would flock to learn at our feet and see what it was that distinguished our efforts. You know, there's a world of recognition, access, and influence that awaits every Christian business person, yet we won't begin to realize it until we see the potential and choose to pursue that potential. And unfortunately, very sadly, the vast majority of Christian business people are stopped at the very first step. They never even recognize the possibilities for spiritual influence through their business. One of my acquaintances was a principal in an industry-leading company, Christian company. And despite its position of influence, the owners decided to sell the business and cash out at a relatively young age. That is, of course, the world's recommendation. You know, that's what you do. You build a business, you cash out, you know, as young as you can. That's the world's ideal. Unfortunately, the idea of using their influence to impact the community and the culture for the kingdom was really never given serious consideration. How sad. And another, you know, a godly, deeply committed Christian owned a financial services company. And the thing, you know, he had done well. It had grown profitable and comfortable. He could have used the influence that came to him because of the excellence in his company. But instead, He chose to take more time off, pursue hobbies. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. But he could have chosen to use some of that time and some of the influence that he gained through his excellence to impact his industry. So there's a couple examples of what I see as the norm. From my experience, the world is full of Christian business people who never make the connection between business excellence and Christian influence. Thousands, maybe millions, of Christian professional and business people have the opportunity to impact their communities and culture through business excellence. And unfortunately, the overwhelming majority never recognize the opportunity to be salt and light that comes with business excellence. Every Christian business person ought to focus on gaining and using the influence that comes through excellence. Okay, that's it. Bye-bye. Hi, it's Dave again. Just want to take a second to really encourage you, if you haven't already, to pick up a copy of The Good Book on Business. The Good Book on Business. You can get it at thegoodbookonbusiness.com or Amazon, or wherever books are sold. You can ask for The Good Book on Business. Why am I recommending it? Because there is a world of impact, impact for the kingdom that a Christian business is designed to have that most Christian business people never, ever come into contact with. And because they don't see what it is that God would like for their businesses, they don't pursue the Christian ministry section or part of their business. So this whole world of impact and opportunity for a Christian business never gets realized because people don't understand the power, the potential power of their business. Man, go get this book. It's $13 or $14, less than lunch. Go get the book and expose yourself to it, okay? All right, bye-bye.